Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper.
Hello, Haley.
So, our last episode, we were discussing, the impacts of stress. We live in a very stressful time. We live in this age of constant information, good or bad. It is messing with our body's ability to process these stress hormones. And overall, we don't feel like there's much hope.
There's exceptions to that, but more than ever, that in recorded history, we have this thing going on where people are worried and they live lives of despair.
Well, more than ever, we are able to take census of all of this information too. That is another reason.
There probably was people falling apart back in the Peloponnesian Wars.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And with Napoleon wreaking havoc, and I'm sure there's all that going on, except for right now, within recorded history, this is the worst time.
Yes.
This is our worst time. The more worry, the more suffering, the more depression. The rates of depression are higher than they've ever been. The rates of despair are higher than they've ever been. The amount of worry that's going on is really very high. Now, it's always been high. There's always been lots of stuff to worry about. When I was a kid, we were all worried about nuclear annihilation and pollution and overpopulation of the planet, and it was just laid out clear that these things could do us all in, and we'd be living, either we'd be dead or living in some kind of cave on, worms or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a kid, I worried about these things. I felt it deeply.
Yeah.
I really did. And as I got older, honestly, I worried more and more, and I still worry, honestly, about these things. It still troubles me, and I wake up, and I think about the problems of the world.
You're a parent, and you want, your children to have a life that you had, without the worry.
Better.
With all the simplicity, better than you had. I want the same for my kid, but...
Now, here's the weird thing. I spent so much time and energy worrying about overpopulation, and now... I'm told our real problem is declining populations.
Yeah.
I'm going, isn't this good news? Aren't we happy? No, we're not happy. Because we need that population to be able to grow our economy. We need that population to be able to afford to do the upkeep on the roads. Because without the population, then not enough people are driving. Then
we need that population to take care of the older generation. For me, with a generation, my generation of people who aren't having children, we aren't going to have those caretakers when we are elderly.
Yeah.
There are kids, the few that there are, aren't going to have their generation to take care of them. There's so much financial reason to grow population, but also for taking care of the... species as a whole.
So when I was not as a kid, but when I was a teenager and young adult, it was the ozone layer disappearing. We're all going to die of skin cancer. That resolved, thank goodness. But now it's global warming, and global warming doesn't seem to be resolving at all. It's getting worse and worse and worse all the time.
Yeah, we got rain on...
Yeah, it's real.
October 31st.
We're living it.
In my 30 years in Fairbanks, it was raining on Halloween.
Yeah.
And typically, we do get an October rain or November rain. Not completely unheard of, but, my entire childhood and adolescence, it was 30 below, 20 below.
November rain, really? I don't remember any
November rain. We've had a couple years of November rain.
Anyways, we're getting off into the weather. The fact matters, there's plenty of stuff to worry about. Plenty of stuff. And it's real. It's not fake. It's real. Real problems.
On our phone, and it's always put in our face. You wake up with the news apps notifying you of everything that's going on. You wake up and you're notified of the stock market and everything's going on. You're notified of everything.
So there's all these things going on that we have very little power to choose. I personally cannot choose whether we're going to have global warming or not. I can't. I mean, I can make personal choices of whether I'm going to contribute to the problem or not. But the choices I make to make things worse don't necessarily make things worse. And the choices I make to make things better don't necessarily make things better. Now, if millions or billions of us make the same choices, then we got some impact here. But yeah, that's the rub. Millions and billions of us all have to do the same thing together. Mm-hmm. And the chance of that is pretty dang low. Now, it might happen. There are big sweeps of history where people make the same choices and things happen. It's incredible. It's like magic, except for it doesn't always go that way. I mean, we're living that right now. A lot of the choices we make, we wish it would go a certain way, and it's because other people don't agree, and so it doesn't go that way. So there's no peace of mind in wishing that the world is a better place outside of your power.
There's no peace of mind in wishing that everybody was the same.
There's no power there. There's no power there.
No.
That's pie in the sky doesn't mean anything. There's no peace of mind. Now, peace of mind is real. It's not this fake thing that somebody invented in order to sell more drugs. What peace of mind is an actual real thing that happens where you wake up in the morning and you go, I love being alive. I'm looking forward to the day. And you get this feeling of energy and optimism and hope. I mean, it's a real thing. It actually happens. I know because I live that every day every day. I'm excited
news?
About the day to come.
Do you watch the news?
No, I quit watching the news in 1997 because in 1997 I realized the news was poison. It was making me worried and it was killing me. And so I purposefully shut it off and I don't do the pictures for news.
No, yeah.
What I end up choosing for news is words because I can handle words. Pictures get to me. Those are too hard. But if I read about it, if there's enough distance between the actual bad thing that happened and me that I can become aware of it.
And then you can also select
but it doesn't gut punch me.
What you read. You can, you know, pick out the most important bits or the most important bits to you.
Yeah, so the TV news I gave up a long time ago.
Yep.
And I actually take the paper, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
This dying institution. I think it's great. These people curate the news for me. They put it together and I get to read it. And it's local. And has got a lot of fun sports things, and there's this, what's it called, crossword, and it's fabulous.
I don't do news either. I don't do news. I have a lot of people in my life who do news, and we talked about this just little happiness bubble that we live in, and we curated for ourselves to deal with the outside insanity, and it's not so much of an ignorance bubble, because I know that there's a lot of injustice and wrong things happening in the world, but it's that there's nothing I can immediately do.
Yeah, so I'm always thinking to myself, first of all, I'm curious, so I always want to know everything I can. So there's that. But the problem is a lot of this information is dispiriting.
Right.
And it bums me out, and it makes me less likely to engage. It makes me more likely to stay home and hide. So I have to choose how I get my news. And so I pick up a form of news that is digestible for me and I can handle it. And I get news from the paper, I get news from the radio, and I get news from my neighbors. And so if there's anything really important, thank goodness I live in a group of people, and they'll tell me, right? If we start a war with somebody, it's not going to come through the news. It's going to come through my neighbors telling me what's going on.
Yeah.
So anyways, I get the news. I think I'm okay. And it's enough that I can handle that doesn't destroy my happiness. But the thing is that I'm focused on is making choices of things that I can actually choose. Making choices for things that have an impact on my peace of mind directly. And there's lots of ways to go at this thing. We can talk about it from lots of different points of view. And I think what we need to do is kind of limit ourselves today and talk about food. Now, again, there's a zillion things we can talk about. And in the future, let's talk about other ways to create peace of mind. But let's dive down deep into a strategy that really results in you actually feeling better, that your peace of mind increases.
Yeah.
And it's not that you look at the news or not look at the news, it's that you make choices and you do things that result in the experience of happiness.
Yes.
Not glee. Not like, woohoo, we're so happy. More like, I feel good.
Yeah.
Like, well, I like my life.
When you are feeding your body right, when you're fully nourishing all of the cells, you're not making these decisions from this panic state of malnutrition. Like, oh my God, I'm ravenous. I need to eat anything in sight. You can kind of mirror that as to, oh my God, I'm starving mentally. I'm starving spiritually. I'm starving in these other aspects. I need to eat anything in sight. I'm going to eat the stressful news. I'm going to eat this panic. I'm going to eat this, this, this. So I can, you know, compare that to food. When you're sustaining yourself, when you're nourishing yourself, you're not going for the easy to get carbs.
Yeah.
You follow me? You know what I'm saying?
There's an analogy thing going on here. There's the food,
trust
and then there's there's the news, right?
Uh-huh.
We don't want to live on candy.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I had somebody tell me yesterday, tabloids are toxic. And we were discussing some aspect of happiness, and it was, we all know that tabloids are toxic. They're also absolutely candy. They're compelling as heck.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Mm-hmm. And then what happened, right?
Ooh, what else? Yeah.
You know, there's
it's that clickbait. It's that catchy title, that comet that's circulating Earth right now that's just about to whiz us, and then that comet that's 10 years out that is going to hit us, and it's just clickbait.
Yeah. Okay, so let's we could go a zillion places with the conversation, and let's, in later episodes, but let's focus right now on food. So now the question is, okay, I get hungry. I need to eat. What food's going to help my mood? I mean, should I eat carrots or should I eat marshmallows? I mean, what's going to make, because I eat marshmallows and I get happy. I like marshmallows. Marshmallows are good. They make me feel good. They're satisfying, right? Or better yet, macaroni and cheese.
Ooh, yeah.
Or better yet still, pizza.
Yeah.
Right? I got, my mood comes up with
so
pizza.
Happy.
I should be eating more pizza,
no,
right?
No, you should not. You should save pizza for a tasty treat. Maybe a cheat day if you do that once a week. But
well, let's use our brains and let's talk about how that happy feeling comes. It comes from things being in balance. So we have this stuff in our brain called neurotransmitters that inform us of our situation. If we are in a dangerous situation, we have neurotransmitters that get released that make us more alert and aware of the situation. And they're enlivening from one point of view. It's like, woohoo, I feel alive, right? Because I'm clinging to this cliff with a 1,000-foot drop. If I screw up, woohoo, I feel great, right? Or there's some kind of, you know, I don't know, you're walking under a ladder or something. I mean, it doesn't have to be a 1,000-foot cliff, but there's some kind of sense of danger, and your brain processes that information in strange and mysterious ways and then presents it to you as a feeling, and the feeling is mitigated by these neurotransmitters. So, okay, there's that. There's also when the neurotransmitters are letting you know that things are not dangerous and things are happy and they're great and things are, and you're successful, mm-hmm, and you're powerful, mm-hmm, and you make good choices, Scott.
Yeah.
And my brain's telling me all these, why, you're really good. You're good here, right? We like this.
Endorphins.
Yeah. And
we
so
like
there's a thing that comes from that, and that's mitigated by a number of different neurotransmitters. One of the key players is serotonin. When serotonin comes in hot and heavy, you feel good. So now the question is, how do I get more serotonin? I mean, do I have to take serotonin or take drugs that make serotonin? Or how do I get the serotonin? Here's the answer, and you already know it. The answer is your body knows how to do this on its own, with rare exception. Every once in a while, people have a screw loose, but most of the vast majority of us make it just fine. And so what you do is you create the situation, you create the environment, the environment that you live in that brings you to that position of, you know, when your brain knows how to make the stuff. I'm using the wrong words here, but it's controllable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's controllable. So in order to get this, what you have to do is you have to give your brain the basics that it needs to be able to do its function. So what does it need? It needs protein, because these neurotransmitters are all made out of protein. Without the protein, you can't make them. It needs fat, Mm-hmm. Because your brain is mostly made out of fat anyways. Fat's the insulation that allows the electrical current to shoot through the axons and not jump to the next axon over. If you got short of oil or the oils are crapped out, then your brain doesn't work right. You're going to be depressed.
And you're going to be clumsy.
And clumsy. We've talked about this before. Depressed and clumsy mm-hmm. is what you're going to be. You also need to have carbohydrates because carbohydrates make us happy.
Oh, yeah.
We feel good with carbohydrates.
Focus.
They're the fuel that our brain runs on.
Yeah.
So if we somehow find a concentrated cache of carbohydrates, our brain says, good job. Well done. Go do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whatever you found, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We like that thing. Now, admittedly, food manufacturers have figured this out. They've managed to concentrate carbohydrates beyond what nature ever could manage. And so they've basically taken over this thing, and now we want to eat donuts and candy.
Chips,
right. Salt, carbs, and fat. Man, it's a magical combination for making our brains happy. Except for this, here's the thing. We have the ability to pause and reflect and then to notice the overall pattern of our life. Okay, so I ate a bag of chips, and man, they were great. Except for now I feel fat and toxic and tired and funky.
A little bit inflamed.
Yeah. So I think maybe that wasn't a good idea. Now, chips are still good. I'm not saying they aren't good. They're tasting delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Except for eating the whole bag is a bad idea. So I learned early on at a relatively young age that I had to take the chips and put them into a little dish. I could not eat them out of the bag. Now, people do it all the time.
Yeah, I'm one of those
That's
people.
That's a portion.
I'm people. I am. When I was a chip addict. I am a recovering chip addict.
Well, I got to say, me too, but I'm long recovered because I learned years and years ago not to eat the whole bag because it made me feel bad and to shake it out. But honestly, as the years have gone on, my tolerance for chips has gone down and down and down and down and
yeah.
down. And now it's a rare occurrence yeah. in my diet.
I, you know, used to be pretty hard on the chips. And then this year, I took it way off. And now when I eat chips, it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, so you can make these choices and play it out and then notice how you feel and then realize some of us can eat chips and we just have to swear them off. I have a zillion patients that just can't eat chips at
yeah.
all. So they can't do it. I have other patients that can eat chips. They do fine with chips, but not too many.
Sure.
So there's going to be a line. What's the line here? And how you're going to be able to tell is by paying attention to what the results of your decisions are and then choosing again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds like the weight's on you to make the right choice all the time, and it isn't. I'm not saying it right. If you get that impression, that's the wrong impression. The weight is on setting up the system that you live by
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to make hard choices.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a roundabout way of saying, yeah, you have the choice.
Okay, let me
the
give you a more practical you. Example. So chips. Okay. So if there are chips in the house, then every time I go into the kitchen, I have to think...
No chips.
Yeah, it's this thing where I have to fight against
yeah.
it. No, forget it. I don't buy the dang chips.
Yeah,
they don't go
don't
in my cart.
I don't buy the ice cream anymore.
Yeah.
I can't buy the ice cream. If I buy the ice cream, it'll all be gone. It'll all go away in one sitting.
Yes.
And I can't control it.
So the solution to the chips is not to buy the chips. So mm-hmm. now when we go through the grocery store, I'm with my wife, we're shopping together, and I look at her and I say, they sell chips down that aisle. And she goes, yes, they do. And we go buy.
Yep.
True story.
Yep.
That's so where the chips are,
the
down there.
Up.
We're not going to that part of the store. We don't go there.
That's forbidden zone.
Because it's hard. I mean, I can push a cart down that aisle and not throw any chips in. But my brain is going to come up with four reasons why this is a good idea.
We have people coming over.
We have people coming over. We got that holiday. We have that birthday.
It's Tuesday.
Whatever. It's
Taco
Yom
Tuesday
Kippur or whatever.
Chips.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason to throw chips in the thing. And so I have to, you know, struggle with that. And I don't have an unlimited amount of willpower. I have, 15 minutes maybe for the whole day. So I have to portion it out carefully. Because sometimes I just have to be good and not do it. But if I have to do that over and over and over again, I become fatigued. And then I will come up with reasons that rationalize me doing whatever it is. So if I set up the system And the system involves no chips. There's no chips. So now that I'm hungry, I have to go find food. I have to figure out what to eat because there's no chips in my house.
And, too, I think a part of that system is also exercise, as it is in all parts of our well-being. When you start going to the gym and you start seeing results, you don't even want to eat bad anymore because you're like, oh, wow, I just lost 3 pounds. This is how I feel without that 3 pounds. Okay, and then you get to weigh the...
So you now feel powerful.
Yeah.
Like you did it.
Yeah.
Now you made decisions. Mm-hmm. You set the system up.
I don't want the chips anymore because I'm in the gym and I'm getting fit and I like the results I'm getting and I want to see that more than I want to see what I was experiencing then.
You feel powerful.
Yeah.
And you feel competent.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel satisfied. And you feel... engaged, and now this is exactly what I'm talking about. You can make these close-in choices, the choices of the world that you live in, not the TV world or the whatever your world fake that's far out and 1,000 miles away. We're talking about the world in my house.
Yeah, the world in your house, in your head.
In your head, and also around, I'm thinking in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got this system set up in the kitchen, where I'm living a life that I have no chips and no ice cream, I'm actually living a better life. I'm not saying that chips and ice cream are of the devil. Some people can eat them, and they can get by, and they can do just fine. Ice cream's lovely. It's an amazing invention.
A little bit here and there. Moderation is key.
If you can do moderation.
If you can do moderation.
Some people can, some people can't. So if you can do moderation, good. If you can't do moderation, forget it. You got to get it out of your life and take it away so that you can go live your real life. And not this fake life where you're addicted to freaking ice cream. So here's the thing. I've got to be careful about how we say this because real soon I feel like I'm getting on my high horse and saying, do it right. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is look around your situation. Figure out a strategy to feel better. It might be no chips. It might be no ice cream. It might be eating carrots every day.
It might just be chips on Tuesdays.
Whatever. Something like that. You get a strategy. You're right. That's fine. Chips on Tuesdays. And so you have this thing, Fatter Day, right?
Fatter Day,
right? So you do this, you get a system set up, and then you play it out. And you get to look at the situation, you get to feel it, you get to make your best guess, maybe read it in a book, or maybe you come up with an idea. You see Dr. Looper, I don't know, whatever. You got some idea about how to do this. And then you run it, and then after a week or two, now you really know what it is. You've lived it. You really want to get it settled? 3 weeks.
And 3 weeks? 3 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks is a special time because 3 weeks is how long it takes to break a habit. 3 weeks is how long it takes to break an addiction. There's 21 days. You do the 21-day program, you come out the other side, you're different.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the same person. The craving goes away.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 3-week process. It just is. Why 3 weeks? I don't know. It just is. For whatever reason, it's the world we live in, the bodies we you know, inherited from our ancestors. It takes about 3 weeks to do this thing. So you set up the pattern, you run it for a while, and then you get to assess, how do I feel? How do I feel about this thing? So sometimes you assess and say, woo, we're on the right track. Mostly it goes like that. Every once in a while, it's like, meh, this isn't really working. I'm not getting the bang out of what I thought this is, so I'm going to do it in a different way, and you get to choose again. But the thing is, you get to choose. It's not like you're a victim. It's
right.
Not like the world's happening. They invented chips and I'm wrecked.
And
no, you got power here. There's agency.
That's what addiction does, is it takes away your ability to choose. When I was still drinking and I was a binge drinker, I'm, you know, admittedly, like, come from a family of alcoholics, come from a long line of recovering alcoholics, and I found my own journey. And
I love your family, by the way. You have a great family. Your family is resilient as heck. They are. Now, I don't know everybody, but all the ones I know, none of them drink, and none of them are struggling to be the best people they can be.
Yeah, and, you know, it took what it took to get here. And so when I compare it to my own circumstances of being told to be careful, you could, you know, have this problem later on, and being younger and thinking, no, that's never going to be me. I'm never going to be that way because I saw what you did. And I'm not going to do it the way you did it. I'm going to do it differently. But every time, it would end in travesty. It would end in, overconsumption. It ended in misery for myself and others, and I just had to let it go. I just had to stop, and that is when I was able to take my power of choice back, because alcohol took my choice away. Now I can compare that to diabetes.
Same thing.
I can compare that to
addiction of another sorts, right?
Right.
It's really the same thing. It's interesting that the alcoholism and diabetes runs in your family. By the way, same as my family.
Yeah.
I have alcoholism and diabetes in my family as well. Thick.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I'm not an alcoholic. I mean, consider that my dad was, and my grandpa was, and my great-grandpa was. I come from a long line of alcoholics. My uncle was. I mean, they're all piled up around me.
And I feel that each are rooted in this dis-ease.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to feel better.
It's a disease of dis-ease. Everybody wants that contentment. Everybody wants that fulfillment.
Yeah, and you drink three beers and you feel better for it.
Yeah. Or you eat a pint of ice cream and you feel like you're going to the moon.
But then every once in a while you gotta slow down, float above the situation, look at it from the big picture and think, how is my life going? Is this the right track? Is there something else I want to do? If you have the confidence to be able to choose again, and you can, I mean, we have the agency. It's something we're actually born with, being able to do this. Then you can choose again. You can get a different pattern. And then what happens from this is there's this sense of fabulosity. Is that the word? Like, we can do it. There's like accomplishment. It's not exactly... I keep saying this, not exactly glee. You don't get glee from it because you still have the same problems you always had before. But there's a feeling like hopefulness. There it is.
That you can just, you know, bear with it. You can deal with it. It's not going to be the end all be all.
I can choose again.
You can choose again.
Looking for good enough. Looking for good enough. Looking for trying to figure it out in such a way to get it to go good enough. We're going to fight again another day. Strive, strive, strive. We're always fighting the good fight like that. And food is a great entry point to be able to do this because you get to feel the results of it rapidly.
Yeah, it affects your mood. It affects your focus. It affects everything, your energy levels.
Yeah, so let me give you some practical advice to start on this thing. Practical advice number one is eat three meals a day. You don't have to. People don't, and they do okay. But that's a good place to start, is eat three meals a day. Second one, have protein with every meal. Your body's made of protein. The neurotransmitters in your brain are made of protein. You get enough protein coming in, good quality protein, you know, fresh meats and eggs and, you know, cheeses and nuts and seeds and things like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be meat. It could be vegetarian too, but you got to get protein in from some way. If you don't have the protein in, you will be weak and you will be tired and you will be bummed and you will not be the best version of yourself. You just don't. You need
protein. Your muscles will not operate at their best level.
Right. We don't need tons of protein. You don't need to eat massive amounts of protein. Basically, the minimum amount of protein that you need to do or adequate amount of protein you need to do is two or three fingers worth of protein three times a day. Two fingers, three fingers. What is that? Is that an egg?
It's like 4 ounces.
4 ounces is four fingers. Three ounces is three fingers. Okay. So it's about 3 ounces of protein. 2 or 3 ounces of protein. Not a lot. Less, not a high protein diet by any means, but just some. Some protein. Okay, so protein. I do that first. Eating three meals a day, that's good because it's going to give you the fuel that your brain needs to function. You feel better for it. You're getting protein in. That'll help balance your blood sugars. It gives you the basic building blocks that we're made of. That will help. But it doesn't have everything you need. You're missing stuff with just protein and just eating three meals a day. You got to get nutrients. You got to get calcium and magnesium and vitamin A and vitamin B and a bunch of other stuff. And those come from food, not candy, not chips. They come from food.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Good.
All right, let's do this again.
Yeah, we'll do another episode in this happiness series we're starting.
Thanks, Haley.
Thanks, Dr. Looper.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy.
This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.